Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Ash Wednesday service. We understand that the tradition of Ash Wednesday probably began sometime in the 6th century in France. And it's a strong reminder of our mortality. From Genesis, we hear these words, "You return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Ash Wednesday is the beginning of our Lenten journey. It's a time to declutter our lives, to recenter our lives, and to be reminded that for whatever reasons, we drift off course. And so we gather tonight to renew our relationship to the God who loves us and embraces us and waits for us. So we're glad you're here. Glad that we're together, God's people, to worship.
I want to invite you to stand as we join together in our responsive call to worship. We gather tonight to turn away from the desire for worldly success and perfection. Repent and turn back to God. Turn away from the need to be in control of everything and everyone. Repent and turn back to God. Turn away from greed and the love of power. Repent and turn back from God. As we come before God on this Ash Wednesday, and as we enter into this season of Lent, may we turn back to God. May we seek forgiveness. May we seek healing. May we seek wholeness. May our hearts be renewed in this time of worship. Friends, when we repent, when we confess our need for our hearts to be cleansed and fixed, God does indeed make us new with the healing powers of love and grace. Though we are not worthy of these priceless gifts, still God offers them, and they are ours. May we say thank you by claiming them for ourselves and by sharing them with others. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you have ever touched ashes, but not only are they dark, they are messy. They smudge and they spread and they stain and make whatever they encounter instantly dirty. I remember rearranging already partially burned wood in the fire pits as a summer camp counselor, knowing it was a job to do before you took your daily shower, not after. If you got it on your hands, you got it in your hair, and on your face, and on your shirt, and on your shorts, and on your shoes, and for the next few days, there would be ash in your tissue when you blew your nose. You get the idea. And such is life, is it not? We cannot escape the messiness of being human. It always finds us, despite all of the effort that goes into us trying to avoid it, manage it, clean it up. It gets all over us, head to toe. As Reverend Dale said, Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of the Lenten season, a season where we claim our humanity, where we live into the struggle that Jesus embraced as becoming one of us and one with us on his way to the cross. It's a season of giving up chocolate and fast food and caffeine and your vice of choice, sure. But as people of faith, I think we're called to give up in a different way. You see, I think we're called to give up pretending that we are all the things that as humans we are not. We are not perfect. Our bodies and our minds and our spirits bruise and age and sag and break down and fail. Life is messy. Relationships are complex. We make mistakes. We lose our way. We miss the mark. And no amount of optimism or sweeping under the rug or any quick fix that this world has to offer changes any of that. Lent is a time for truth-telling, for getting real, and the realization of God's promises of hope in the face of hopelessness. I think tonight, this season, is about giving up trying to pretend that there isn't ash all over our face. Giving up pretending that everything is clean and bright and good and ageless and simple and perfect when in fact we are human head to toe. Giving up trying to pretend that we don't need God to, in the words of Psalm 51, which we'll read in just a few moments, cleanse us and purge us and wash us and refine us and restore us and deliver us. Lent reminds us that God is God and we are most definitely not. And that's a good thing. Lent reminds us that God is not afraid of the darkness and certainly not afraid of getting a little dirty. And this night reminds us of the same. God can be found. In fact, God comes to light in the darkest of places. God cleanses and makes new all which is almost unrecognizably tarnished or broken or covered in the smudges of sin and death, including our hearts. When we say, surely my darkness will cover me, and surely the light around me will become night, and surely my heart is broken for good, and surely my life is far too messy to be redeemed, God says, nothing is too dark. Nothing is too messy or smudged. Nothing is too broken for God to hold and cleanse and make new. Tonight, and in the midst of these 40 days in the wilderness of Lent, we get to the heart of the matter. We see things for what they really are, and we hold life and death in tension. Broken and beautiful, finite and forever relying on God's grace, messy and magnificent, dust and deeply connected to a God on whom our life depends. So to me, there is actually great hope in this night and all it stands for, even as the ashes touch our face and the stains of humanity cover us, there's great hope in admitting our limits, our need for care, our brokenness, our fragility, and yes, even our mortality. Because in doing so, we can give up, set aside our need to have it all together. We can let go of this compulsion we have to control everything. We can remember that we stand in need of wisdom and strength much greater than our own. And most importantly, we can let God be God to us and for us and with us. May we ready our hearts to receive just that. Amen.
As we encounter Psalm 51, as we begin our Lent journey, I invite you to turn to page 657 in your hymnal. This is after the hymn numbers, the large numbers at the front of the hymnal. We're looking for page 657 in the back, so it should say Psalm 51 up top, and then a small 657. Tonight we will engage in Psalm 51 in what may be a new way to you, but certainly ancient in its display. We will chant the psalm led by two cantors, Bill and Deborah. They will chant the verses you see written, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love," and so on. And we as the congregation will sing the response up top, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." The response is sung every time you see a capitalized R in the text, with the exception of the first time it is sung twice. First by the choir, and then by all. After that, the response is sung only once. I invite you to engage in this new and ancient way to ask for God to create in you a clean heart.
In a few moments, you will hear our gospel reading for this evening. It is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew's Gospel is a major focus on Jesus' teaching. It was a moment for Jesus' disciples and now for us. This moment of orientation. Jesus telling us what kind of disciples we should be. We should be salt. We should be light. And Jesus also teaches us and challenges us to think about our motivations. And he teaches us how to pray. With respect to challenging our motivations, Jesus illustrates what hypocrites do. The word hypocrite in Greek literally means stage actor. And if our religious life is a stage show, a way to convince ourselves of our goodness and looking respectable, then we're missing the point of the gospel. Is our religious life a way to look for the acceptance of others? Or is our religious life something more, something deeper? Jesus isn't so much focusing on what we do or how we do it. Instead, Jesus wants to know why we are doing what we're doing. Is it a form of self-serving, self-congratulating, self-soothing, or is it something more? And finally, in this passage of Scripture we are about to hear, Jesus teaches us how to pray a simple prayer, a model prayer, nothing fancy, nothing meant to impress, but a prayer that simply reminds us of God's holiness. A prayer that reminds us of a kingdom. A prayer that reminds us that one day heaven and earth will touch. A prayer that reminds us that God is the one who feeds us, forgives us, and teaches us to forgive others. And finally, in this prayer, a plea to protect us from temptation and evil. God is God, and we are not. God is forever, and our time on earth is limited. Jesus can indeed help us make the best of it. Amen.
Hear now these words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. And as you see, the words of that Lord's Prayer are bolded. So when I get to that point in our reading, I want to invite you to pray those words along with me. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
as we gather around this table tonight. We focus on two powerful symbols. Ashes, a reminder of our mortality, and the bread and the cup, a reminder of our salvation. In a few moments, we will be inviting you to come forward, if you're able, down the center aisle. Some of you will peel off this way, others of you will peel off the other way, where we will impose the ashes, and you will receive the grace of the Lord's Supper, our salvation. One more thing about these symbols. Jesus experienced mortality. He died a horrific death, a public execution by an empire that could not embrace love. And so tonight, we remember the words that Jesus shared with his disciples. On the night of his betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, he gave God thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you."
In the same way, after breaking the bread, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks for it and blessing it and before sharing it with those he loved, he said to them, "This is my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus did pause to pray and to bless the gifts before sharing, so I want to invite you to do the same. Let us pray. Loving God, as we stand on the edge of the wilderness of Lent, as we gather around this table and stand at the crossroads of life and death, bread and cup of blessing and life, and ashes that remind us of our own fragility and mortality, we pray, we ask, we know that you meet us here in the in-between. God, we ask that you bless these gifts, bless this simple meal, this cup, this bread. May they nourish us for the journey ahead. Amen. Just a reminder of a few little logistical things. As Reverend Dale said, you will exit your pews via the center aisle, make your way up, and either head to the lectern side or the pulpit side. Both sides have individually packaged communion elements in addition to the bread and the juice to dip. If you are in need of gluten-free items or bread, please head in this direction. The gluten-free is over here on the pulpit side. If you are unable or just not able to make your way forward for whatever reason, please stay in your seats, and Reverend Dale and I will come around with ashes and communion elements to make sure that you are served and that you receive the ashes as well. I believe those are all of the instructions. Right. So I want to invite our communion servers to come forward. I invite you all to come, for all things are now ready.
You may request to have your ashes placed on your hand if you would not like them on your forehead. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, we thank you for the gift of life, for the air we breathe, for the way that you have breathed life into us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to us to share our common lot, to understand what it means to be human in every way. As we continue on our Lenten journey, God, we trust that your Spirit will fill us and nourish us as these elements of bread and cup have done for us tonight. And we pray this, trusting your reigning and loving presence. And in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Friends, we have been marked and nourished, blessed for the journey ahead. So as we go from this place out into the world and enter into the wilderness of Lent, may you go to follow Christ, knowing that as we walk with him, God walks with us. Amen.